appeal in the day. Yeah, it does. Here it goes. I kind of lie. Now you're thinking you're so invincible as you lay your body down. Yeah, and you take what I got till it's full. Then you don't want me. You don't want me around. That's just my kind of life. Just my kind of life. So here's a nice pop rocker for you about an old relationship gone bad and getting old. That's what it's about, pretty much. All right.
On the edge of the bed, all the old words are gone. Gone in dusty cassettes, another useless song. I see them in my head, but I can't play them again. 'Cause I'm only waiting. Been unclear. Another sad verse of a sad career. It's all I had to say. Another long, long day. I'm only waiting. My Moscow mule. Then you spilled my gut. You said the past belongs to each of us. You must make of it what you must. I'm only waiting. Rosemary goes away. Rosemary goes. I'm only waiting.
Here's another song about a screwed up love affair, a really screwed up love affair. If you listen closely to the lyrics, don't let your kids listen, though.
It just keeps getting worse every song.
It does.
It's a worse and worse love story.
Well, that depends. I'm glad you didn't hear that. Okay, this is called Owned. When I was old, everything was fine. Day-glow conviction of the clearest kind. When I was born, been told to born, where I'd begin to fall in the got a few more here for you. Wurtel, thanks for listening to us tonight out there and wherever you are. Here's a song I wrote after Bowie died. It means a lot to me, actually. It's called Ghost on the Radio.
they turn this way, over the mountain range, take me down, back to what we used to know.
So if you've stayed with us this long, we got a treat for you, a song that's really going to rock your brain out, called Followed by Helicopters.
No.
One more.
It's just my cough.
It's Stir Crazy, man.
Called Stir Crazy. Well, this one will do the same thing. Actually, all our songs will do that to you, guaranteed. This is our big pop release, actually, and we had a really cool video that went with it. Starring Mary Widow. She was amazing. Yeah, check it out on our website, which is telltheband.com. See, we're tell, so it's telltheband.com. You got that? All right, we're all stir crazy.
Stir Crazy!
Okay, so this is our last song. We're Tell, and I'd like to introduce the band to you. Yes. The man that just did that was Ken Rothman. Let's hear it for Ken. Yeah! Yes. Jay Raffy doing all the bass and the background vocals. And the famous Chuck Ferreira on drums.
Ferreira.
Have I been pronouncing it wrong? Ferreira?
There you go.
Sorry.
Not so famous, am I?
No, you're famous. I just have your name wrong. That's all.
You gotta get it right when you vote for
him. Oh, you're that drummer.
Oh.
We got the other guy. Vote for him. Boston Music Awards.
Oh, yes. Vote for him. Vote for him.
Thanks,
man. All right. This one's called Followed by Helicopters. All right. It's a song about paranoia, which is something that none of us can, connect with right now. Hell no, we're all paranoid. We're all afraid. I'm afraid, at least. Okay. Guess your time has finally come, but you're not ready. And everybody knows you came to see you just like me in the catacombs. Wirtel from Boston. Thanks for listening. Thanks to WMFO for having us.
And there you have it, everyone. That was Tell. Tell the Band. You can find them on their website, telltheband.com. Everyone everywhere, give it up for Tell. That was awesome, guys. And soon, Joel, the producer for the show, is going to do an interview with the band. And you'll be able to find out even more about them. And until then, we're going to listen to a CD I grabbed. Bocce and Bourbon, The Comfortable Songs of Travis and Greenberger. Here goes.
Made me strong man. 91.5 WMFO. Yeah.
Yeah.
Max just stepped out. I'm gonna do this interview because why not? You are still tuned on the town with Mikey D, 91.5 WMFO. My name is Joel, and I'm the producer of the show, and I get to mix the bands. I don't really get to interview the bands, and today I am very blessed to have Boston rock and roll legends. I mean, literally legends, legendary people, right here in front of me.
In our own minds, perhaps.
Absolutely. So we have the band Tell. Before we get to you, I'm going to read this PSA. I hope you don't mind. Yeah. The United States has the world's largest documented prison population, both in absolute and proportional terms. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, more than 2.2 million prisoners are behind bars in the United States, a rate of 730 per 1,000 people. China, which is four times more population than the United States, is a distant second with 1.51 million people in prison, a rate of 100 per 100,000, while Russia has the second highest rate, 606 per 100,000, for a total of 865 prisoners. Something to think about from your reprobates here at 91.5 WMFO Medford. And we're going to talk to the band. Oh my gosh, it's like every single one of us in this room, especially you guys have been in like so many bands over the last several years.
That's true.
How did we get to Tell? Actually, let's go around the room. Let's start, Eric, why don't you start? We'll just go around the room and introduce.
Start with Ken.
Ken Rothman. Sorry.
Ken. I've been having a senior moment all day.
It's all good.
Blame it on the monitor. The monitor's in the way.
I'm not going to speak much because I don't have much of a voice. But hi, how are you?
Hi, how's it going?
I'm good.
And we got Dave Wildman here.
Hello.
Hi, Jay. And I'm Jay, just going, keeping it going around.
Hello, I'm Chuck.
So, between the four of you, there's like at least a dozen bands that come to mind that
I think
that,
most of them Chuck is playing in right now.
So, yeah, most of them Chuck's playing in. So, I mean, we've got the drummer for 80 Japan. We've got the guitar player and the bass player for Devil Love. We've got Dave Wildman, who's been in a whole bunch of my favorite bands, including Dear Old Stockholm Syndrome, Fire in the Boathouse, and also an accomplished writer, music writer from way back in the day. What brought us to here? How do we get to Tell?
How do we get to Tell?
How do we get there? Yeah.
Well, me and Jay, the bass player, have been playing together for a long time in a bunch of bands. We started out with the Familiars,
right?
Which then became the Unfamiliars. This is really going to sound Spinal Tap. And then there was another band called the Unfamiliars. So we changed our name back. No, the Familiars. Unfamiliars, and then we kind of like.
We did go through a lot of drummers.
Yeah, we went.
Actually, we went through more drummers with Tell.
Did you have anybody explode on stage?
At rehearsal space.
Yeah, they exploded in the rehearsal space, which was
that's
messy.
Usually what happens.
It's messy, but at least that's not like in front of an audience that's gonna, you know, demand their
festival
money back.
Audience.
Yeah.
Oh,
you hope.
Yeah.
Not. You hope.
Or
not.
It's like you do that, and then you got to do that every time. You know, like everybody's waiting for the drummer to explode. You know, if the drummer doesn't explode, they're gonna be disappointed.
Yeah, it's kind of like when Pete Townsend doesn't smash a guitar. Drummer doesn't explode. People leave the room.
Exactly.
Really pissed off.
Exactly. We went, kind of played in different bands for a little while, and then just kind of there was an opportunity for us to do something new, so we did. We wanted to do something, you know, that gave Jay a chance to do whatever the frick he wanted to do. And
that's always a good incentive.
And when you give Jay a chance to do whatever he wants to do, he comes out with amazing stuff. He really does. He plays stuff that no other human bass player would play. Maybe an AI, but not a human.
Are you flirting with me, David?
Well, I saw you across the room. And
keep your hands to yourself, boys.
This is a lot of praise.
Yeah, I'd say that to everybody about you.
Yes,
I do.
It's true. He does.
I've heard that story.
It's not, I'm not just saving it for the radio, you know. And so he's great, and we just kind of, you know, built it from there. Went through like you said, a couple drummers and then a couple more drummers. And then what happened was the COVID, of course.
Happened. The COVID, the Rona.
Right. It's, yeah, everybody has to talk about it, you know.
Well, it affected everybody. I mean, there's nobody that it didn't. I mean, the world shut down for 2.5 years.
Oh, it's not
like, and you know, we're still dealing with the COVID hangover.
Yeah.
You know,
it was a deus ex machina, basically. Now,
you know, I mean, I'm finding that a lot of people have just been taking that time to become creative and do things.
Right.
And you know, get music going. And now, I mean, I'm throwing this out to all of you because, like, you know, we've all been in a few bands, and this is none of your first bands or anything like that. What about right the here and now that makes you want to still be doing music and still be coming up with new and fresh ideas? What inspires you now that didn't inspire you before when you were in your first band?
You mean before COVID, or
before COVID? Before, you know, like, you know, when you know the first time you guys, you know, people were playing, you know, we're in our 20s playing the Middle East or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, that's a whole different thing.
And now we're completely in this
you
this
don't want to know
completely new different this completely different landscape where not only are we post COVID and we're coming back out after being shut in our houses and by ourselves, having to go out and people again,
right. Well, I just want to say that we recorded our first record, Stir Crazy, during COVID.
Yeah.
And we never even saw each other. I'm serious.
That was pretty interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we passed a lot of tracks back and forth, which was actually pretty cool.
Right. Well, because now a lot of people still use that approach. I mean, that's like you know, a lot of people perfected that or got really good at it.
Not you guys, but you know.
Yeah, no.
No, but I think
I'm still hacking.
Yeah.
But
to answer your question, Joel, I mean, at least from my perspective, it's like as I've matured as a musician, I think I think one of the things I find interesting is that that alone is reason to keep playing, and also like you know, you get by the time you hit your 40s, it's like okay, I'm still alive. I'm still doing this. And it's like, that's inspiration to keep doing it. And then, you know, you start to think about as people really age, the things that get taken away. And so now it's like, you know, one of the jokes I make is like, well, I'll stop drumming when I'm dead, because it's like, there's a finite in your 20s. You don't think about that. But
no.
When you're in your 40s, you start to think, oh, there's a finite limit to this. So, you know, it's everybody jokes, well, Chuck's in 7 bands, and it's true, I'm in 6 or 7 bands, but it's because it's like, well, if I can fit it in now, I'm going to do it while I can.
You know, if not now, when, right?
Exactly. Right,
but I mean, the thing
you
is...
You don't get to redo it.
Yeah, the truth about Boston musicians is like, most drummers are in 7 to 10 bands. Yeah. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So, I'm not trying to say that you're not special.
Oh, no, I agree. A lot of people are. It's,
you know,
it's
like, and so, therefore, it begs the question, where the heck are all the drummers in the Boston music scene? Come on out of the woodwork.
Yeah,
put down there. The 40 pack and let's go.
The 40 pack. You know your drummers well.
Yeah, don't really, yeah. The Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Pabst Blue Ribbon. Remember when Pabst Blue Ribbon was like $2?
Yeah.
And then all the hipsters got into it and went up to like $10.
Yeah, of course.
Because that's what happens.
Supply and demand.
It happened with Rolling Rock.
Oh yeah.
Remember, you know, back in the old Kirkland days. I mean, Mikey was all about the Rolling Rock.
Yeah, that's how it was.
And you know, it was like $2, and then again, all the hipsters got involved and. And,
yeah,
it's a very strange thing because, like, you know, how do you guys rate yourselves in terms of the hipster category? Do you guys consider yourself legendary veterans of the scene, or do you?
Oh yeah,
we're a hazy IPA.
Speak for yourself.
I think I'm kind of a Schlitz.
We've all been feeling the Schlitz lately.
Good English pub ale.
I'm a Guinness guy. That's all I drink.
I got to tell you, I used to get really sick just thinking about Guinness because I was tripping balls on acid.
And
I had like 20 of them.
Oh.
And you know, talk about 20. Your Technicolor yawn. And then, you know, some years later, I'm at the Glastonbury Festival and they're like, okay, you're tripping balls. Let's go. We're going to cure you of this. And that was the first time I had a Guinness in like 15 years and I didn't get sick. And it was like almost like drinking a milkshake.
There you go.
Awesome. Yeah, no, it's always like drinking hefty. A milkshake. I was at a New Year's Eve party once at TT the Bears and some guy was buying the band. I was playing the band there and someone was buying the band just incredible amounts of tequilas, you know? And then I ended up, I don't know how I got there. I was at somebody's house and I woke up in the middle of the night and, you know, I had to get something in my mouth, you know, for all that tequila stuff.
What she said.
And that's what she said. And the rest you don't want to know about. No. And then so I wandered into the refrigerator and I saw that there was some orange juice in there. And I thought, oh, that'll cure it.
Pre-mix.
Yeah. Well, I took a drink of that orange juice and then I turned on the light and looked in it and it was green.
Yeah.
So I did. I did some porcelain praying that night.
Yeah, yeah.
We've
all done it, you know. So the band's been going on for what, 2 years now, 3 years.
This lineup, three years. Yeah, yeah. Because we put out the record in what was it? 2019.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it seems like 20 years ago and 5 minutes ago at the same time.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I always wonder, like, you know, what do you think was your favorite moment on stage as a musician playing in front of people? I mean, do you have a personal favorite gig that you've all done? Not even, it doesn't have to be together. I mean, if you had a gig together that was the best gig you ever had, I'd like to hear about it. But I'm sure we've all had, everybody in this room has had one of those gigs where you can say, this was the moment that, you know.
This is a cheat. But Chuck, Jay, and I, and about 40 other people, played a set of 23 Steely Dan songs once.
Oh, that was amazing.
Oh, that was
and
great.
People applauded.
Where was that?
The Lizard.
Oh, my God.
No.
That was...
No, the Lily Pad.
Lily Pad.
Thunder Road.
You played
Thunder Road. That's where
Thunder Road, yeah.
That was the Cult of Point Break Society, which is a gets together every 5 years or so to, like, do some kind of immense task of, like, learning...
23 Steely Dan songs.
Yeah, and that was pretty epic. That was pretty epic. Yeah, that was
awesome.
Fun.
Oh,
it was but, great. Like, you know, people were cheering for us like we were Steely Dan.
Yeah.
And so it was unrestrained applause. It was... I don't usually get that.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's the only Steely
me.
Dan they were going to get. Yeah. So, you know, they took it.
No, you can still go see Steely Dan.
I think for me, it's probably one of the shows that Eddie Japan, we play with Greg Hawks from the Cars. So yeah, and then
Greg
you ran
Hawks
sound.
From the Cars? Who's that guy?
And yours, the man on the mic behind the board here, actually ran sound at our last show at the City Winery. But getting to play with him, and because this is a local show, I mean... Local legends, the Cars. I mean, getting to play with somebody who's literally an architect of a certain sound that is still being emulated today, not to mention just a great guy. And
you know, I never realized until Eddie Japan started doing the Greg Hawks shows how much of the Cars sound is actually Greg Hawks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everybody thinks of Rick Ocasek as like the Cars sound.
No,
when you think about it, the all the synth stuff, all the Fairlight stuff, that it was, you know, not only was it state of the art in some places, but it's just so iconic.
It is iconic. And also just his approach to it. So it's pretty epic. And like, I don't know, I couldn't pick one of those shows. They're all pretty great.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's no offense to everybody else I play with, but hey, that's, for me, that's probably the highest pinnacle.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, and you know, it's strange because that's recent. That's relatively recent.
Yeah,
it's not like
we started pre-COVID. COVID hit. I think the last thing we did was a Boston Music Awards thing at House of Blues.
Yeah.
COVID hit, and we busted out of COVID with a couple of shows, and the last one was at City Winery. So it was nice to see that he still wanted to do it, and he's still having fun with it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But I mean, that's really the thing. Everybody in this room, are we all still having fun playing music?
Oh yeah,
you know, still. You know,
that was a blast. Thanks for having us. That was
it's
really
my
good.
Pleasure. I mean, look, you know, I look at it in so many different ways. First of all, I mean, there's so much history.
Yeah.
With all of us as friends and as fellow musicians and stuff. So you know, having you guys here and being able to mix you. It gives me the best seat in the house. I mean, I just absolutely love hearing how everything comes together because I can hear all the parts as they're coming together, as opposed to, you know, when you go to a show and it's like the big onslaught of sonic
wash of sound,
stuff.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, and it gives you such an insight to the music when you're able to like hear the individual parts and how they all click together. And I'd often compared like a couple of the bands that you'd been in, Dave, as like the Tom Verlaine and Richard Quine, or, you know,
nice,
you know, the television guys, Richard Lloyd. Thank you. Oh my God. Yeah, you know, yeah. this is what happens when you've got a hole in your brain. But you know, it's
much
just
Guinness.
Guinness. Yeah. You know, it still has that sort of quality where you've got two guitars kind of like, you know, jockeying for position, and
it creates
still
nice tension.
It does. It creates nice tension, and you guys play off of each other and complement each other at the same time. So there's, you know, it's not like, you know, there's always like when two guitars are in the band, there's always one person that only plays rhythm and one person that only plays lead, and it's very rare that both play rhythm and lead. That's in the same song.
Yeah, we just can't decide what to play, so we just play whatever.
Just
play whatever. We
can play whatever we want.
This later. No, it's the same thing, you know, with Jay. We never have any idea what Jay's going to play.
Is it different every time, or do you just settle into it?
No, when he comes up with his parts, they're like, whoa, what was that?
So David usually starts off the songwriting process. He'll have an idea, and then he'll send it to me. And I'll write a bass line trying to break the idea.
Sure.
That's
why not?
I think that's what David's talking about.
Yeah. First, I have to like bug you for about, you know, 3 months.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
it's not bad.
I mean, the creative process is slow.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It is.
has the creative process changed post COVID? Now that you guys can actually get together in a room and write, I mean. Is there a big difference? Do you prefer one over the other, or, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's being actually in the same room and playing music. That's pretty cool.
Some people,
it was weird,
like,
when we first did it, you know.
But the second set of recordings were different, right? There was like a, you know, Benny Grotto produced.
Yeah.
We threw a bunch of stuff at him, and he's like, okay. You know,
yeah,
but the actual process, though, is very similar to
it was
COVID. Like, yeah. When I recorded my drum parts, the only person who was there hanging out was David.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, it was like I was playing along to demo and click tracks and stuff, and so
yeah.
So the carryover is like, well, that was a good process, yeah. And you know, it's not to take away being able to play together, but in the studio, but
being able to trade tracks back and forth online and not have to meet up in a studio and do it at whatever time you wanted to do it works out really well.
It's
for
good.
Me at least.
And if the stuff works, it works. You
right,
know?
Right.
Yeah, and that's become Benny's method, as far as I can tell. That's his, the way he likes to do things.
Yeah, his stuff is cracking. He's been working on a lot of stuff. It's like Benny's everywhere. It's great. You know, I'm saying that. Benny, you're great.
Hello, Benny.
Hello.
Hi, Benny.
All right, you can go to sleep now.
Yeah, go back to bed.
Did anyone tell him we were on here?
No, we didn't tell anyone.
No. So, so what's next? What, you got some shows coming up? Or?
We got a show at the Jungle, right? On, December 15th? Is that right?
I don't know.
I'd have to check the calendar.
Yeah, we'll have to check the calendar. There's a there's a bunch of songs recorded. There's a new an EP that is all mixed and mastered. So
right.
You just have
to decide. We're figuring out what to do with it. We've got a bunch of ideas that we're not really ready. It wasn't the 15th. It's what is it? It's the
not in December, I don't think.
Yeah, I didn't think it was December.
No, we'll get back to you about the show.
Yeah, we're still trying.
It's January 28th.
Okay.
January 28th. Sorry.
So start your new year off right with Tell. That's at the Jungle.
That's at the Jungle.
I haven't seen a show at the Jungle yet. I'm just starting to people. You know,
it's like an old school club. You know, it's really cool.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, some great shows, and I'm slowly but surely starting to get out to shows again. It's been a hard one.
At their own pace.
Well, you know, even before, it's like, you know, because I'm a sound guy, like last thing I want to do on my day
on your day, on your
club.
Night off. Yeah.
and, you know, I became a sound guy because I was just frustrated by hearing all my friends sound so bad. You know, I mean, I know that's terrible.
Joel is the man.
So, yeah. Okay. So let's do one more crazy ass question. What is the stupidest thing that's ever happened at a gig? Like the one thing that just makes you want to go, what did I get myself into? And today's show doesn't count.
Wow.
You mean that was my fault or not?
It doesn't matter. It just, you know, when something just like went completely foobar.
Well, the stupidest thing that ever happened was I was in this band Still Life.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Still Life?
Oh, that was still, yeah.
They had just a crack bass and drummer that were, like Zeppelin. I mean, just incredible heavy riffs, really cool. And they had a flute player who played through a Marshall.
Oh, cool. Ooh,
yeah.
I love it.
So it was, and that was it. So she was like, the Jimi Hendrix of the flute.
The flute, yeah. Did she play it behind her back?
No, she did everything with it. You wouldn't.
Wow, that's talent. That is
talent. She's play a woodwind behind her back.
Well, she didn't play it behind her back, no. But
there's other places.
You know what I'm saying. Yeah. No, but she did because she would get like all the sound on it and just go around banging it on things.
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
And it would be like, it would sound like Hendrix. So so we were in the Rumble, okay, at the Paradise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What year was that? That was 91, right? 92?
Yeah, that probably was.
That was the year. I remember that year. That's the year I played as well.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. That was the year that who won that year? Cliffs of Dunedin that won.
I think it was.
That
yeah,
sounds right.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we showed up for the sound check, and and this woman, and I'm not going to say her name, but she forgot her flute. Whatever you call it,
mouthpiece?
Transponder.
The
thing that allowed her to have a little microphone her flute, so she could play into the amp. You know, and it was just a real cluster. So that was sound check, and she only had like 45 minutes because we went on first. And we couldn't really leave the place, but she sent her husband to go back and get the transponder. And her husband is a drummer who had broken both his arms.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. He was a crack jazz drummer that, played throughout, Europe, but he just happened to have broken his arms. So it was just really weird. He had to take a cab back, and they showed up really late, and they didn't show up in time. So when we played, she had to just play into the microphone, and they tried to run the microphone into the Marshall, and it didn't work.
Ooh.
So that's the dumbest thing.
That's the dumbest thing. Chuck, you got the dumbest. I know you got.
Oh, I don't. Man, no? I don't know. I'm trying to think of a dumb one. I mean, I've had a show at. We played this. Eddie Japan played this show in Gloucester a few years ago, and like this drunk guy kept walking up on stage trying to hug our singer David, and
well, he's a huggable guy.
He's a huggable guy, but it's like but then it started to get like kind of like aggressively weird, like, and I just remember at one point during the song I stopped drumming to get up. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have to get into it, and I like, and before I could get to the front of the stage, the woman who booked the place, this like 70 something year old woman, like jumps on his back and puts him in a headlock, and like she's pulling him away, and then finally a bunch of guys helped her out, but it was ridiculous. I was like, okay, that was a moment.
That's a moment.
But I don't know about anything like that I could point to that specifically happened to me. I've had my fair share of oops. That's
Ken?
A good one.
Yeah, nothing good. I mean, when I was in college, friends of mine, we decided we were going to play all of 2112 in front of people.
Really?
Yeah, and we did.
That's bold.
We did it sitting down, but I was playing a guitar with a Floyd Rose, and I broke a string. And that's the end.
Because when you break a string on the Floyd Rose, all the strings go out of tune.
Right, yep. And it takes 6 hours to change them.
And I didn't have a backup guitar.
Of course not.
So, yeah.
Why would you need one?
Jay, you got one?
It was a while ago. I was playing in a band called 13 Even, and I don't remember where the club was, but where I was standing, it was right next to the bathroom.
Oh, that's
And there was a line, and it was a woman's bathroom. There was a line, and at one point, there was one woman waiting in line who was really drunk, and she just started talking to me while I'm playing. And it was, I learned all about this woman. She started telling me about her divorce and started going on about that. And I kept going. It's like, I'm playing. She's like, yeah, yeah, it sounds really good. I'm just waiting for the bathroom. And that was it wasn't even stupid. I find it, it was actually kind of funny.
That is funny. That's a great.
There isn't really a lot of stupid stuff that's happened.
That happens at like the Plow and Stars a lot.
Well, that one, I just have to dodge people going to the bathroom. Yeah.
Okay, well, I got to wrap it up because, you know, it's about that time. So we're going to close it off with Senseless Optimism. This is called Leave You Behind, and I'm going to leave you behind with this one. Be safe, everybody, and I won't be behind this mic.
Thanks, Joel.
Can I
just give our website one more time?
Yeah, one more time.
Tell the band.
Tell them now.
www.telltheband.com. And it's like, you know, we're Tell. And it's the band.
HTTP.
Oh, God.
Whatever.
You can tell us all in double slash.
And tell us whatever you want.
That's right.
Gentlemen, such a pleasure to have you here. Thank you. Thank you. Come back anytime. You know you can come back anytime.
Thank you, Joel. Thanks, we really appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you, man. Senseless Optimism. You're on the town with Mikey D, 91.5 WMFO. We will see you next week. Bye.
When you play these games, I can't see. Then you call my name late at night. I can't breathe. So then you're gone.